Beautiful words today. O cleanser of the mess I've done. We sure have made a lot of mess, didn't we? But thank God he cleaned it up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your awesome mercy. We're so thankful for your awesome grace and your love. Lord, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. So, Lord, we're so thankful also that we can set aside a few moments of our time this week where we can worship you, where we can point to you and just meditate upon you. It's all about you today. And Lord, as we continue, please, again, hide me behind the cross. Let me deliver your message with clarity and prepare the hearts today. Lord, we're also a needy people, Lord. We need your guidance, and we ask prayers for the people that are not here. We think of Bill, Kathy, Lord. We pray for their health. We pray for this woman, Alexa, Lord, who's still in the hospital, as I've just heard. Be with her. We pray that the doctors would be able to figure out what she has and be able to help her. We continue to pray for Jess. We're thankful that she's here, but we know she has continued struggle with her health, and we uplift her. We give her into your hands, Lord. Again, thank you for being our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, we are a needy people, aren't we? But I thank God again that he provides for all our needs. You know, one thing I'm also thankful is for the family he's given us. I'm thankful that we have people that can join us in our journey, especially in our difficult journey. And that's the subject and the message of today's is the church or the family of God, the church of God, the family of God. And it kind of reminded me when I first came to this assembly. I still remember the first time I met the San Ramon Valley Bible Church. It was in the Grange Hall. The Grange Hall is actually the place we meet now for the Harvest Fest. And no, we're not talking about the well and improved Grange Hall. We're talking about the older, way older, way older version. And I got to be honest, I had my concerns when I first pulled into the parking lot. You know, Jeff gave me the address and he invited me, and I'm thankful for that. When I drove to the address, I thought I was in the wrong place. You have to remember that I came from a Catholic background. So our buildings consisted of nice architecture. We have well-lit signs everywhere. There's none of that in this building. As a matter of fact, the building looked like it was abandoned. It was weird because I remember my first service. It was a Sunday service during winter. And then I went inside. It was weird because it was colder inside than it was outside. So I had to wear my coat. And then coming from a church with nice oak benches, with padded pews, I came in here with metal folding chairs. That it was the first time that I had to get rid of my own chair after I'm done with it, too. You have the stained glass windows with art, and then I don't remember if we had the window. I think it was barred with wooden pallet. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm just going to get over this service. I'm going to leave and not come back. Well, it's been 36 years, and I'm still coming back. Amen. I did not fall in love with the building. I did not fall in love with the walls. I fell in love with the people. This is my family. And I still remember vividly a few people that I met that day. Again, I came from a church where hundreds and hundreds of members, you know, congregated there, and I don't recall meeting one of them. I just don't remember it. And I came to this church, and I think I just have it corrected. I think there were only 40 people. I stand to be corrected on that one. Guess how many people I met that first day? All 40. And the Lord ordained it, and I believe this with all my heart, the Lord ordained for the San Ramon Valley Bible Church to be in that place because God wanted me to see what a real, genuine family of God. From then on, I knew I was meant to be there. You know, I don't mean to put you in the spot, Cindy. You were one of the people that greeted me, and you said, "Welcome, brother." And back then, I didn't know what a spiritual brother and sister meant. So I'm like, "Ooh, lady, I think you got the wrong guy." But I was more on Vince's terms. He said two profound words. It was deep. "What's up?" I was sold. But guess what? You're not my friends. You're my family now. I was meant to be here, and it was God's will for me to be here. And you know, my brothers asked me, he goes, "Alan, how do you know it's God's will for you to be at this church?" That's another message. I don't have time to do that, but let me tell you in short. This is where I met Jesus. This is where I gave my life to Jesus. This is where I'm learning about Jesus. And by golly, if he tarries, this is where I'm going to serve till I see Jesus. So today's topic is about the church, the family of God. And first and foremost, he gets all the glory. We're going to talk about the importance of the church, why it's important to him, and why it should be important to us. The second is the purpose of the church. And third, the benefits of the church. What is a church? Well, before I tell you what it is, let me tell you what it's not. The church is never about the building. Jesus Christ didn't die for a building, but for the people in it. The church is a spiritual family we belong to. It is the best organization in the world. There's no other institution like it. See, the church will outlast any institution and will stand till the end of time. A church will never fade away as long as it's rooted in the Word of God. If it doesn't stay biblical, then it's just another club. There's a saying out there, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. We're no better people than anyone else. We're all just sinners, saved by His grace. As a matter of fact, I'll be the first one in line to tell you that I am an awful sinner. But I also have an awesome Savior. I deserve hell, and that's where the devil wanted me. But God wanted me more in heaven with Him. That's why He traded His life for mine. See, God wanted you and me to be part of the family from the beginning. My first point, the importance. Why is it important to God? The church is called His bride. In Ephesians, you don't have to turn there yet. The church is called His bride. Paul uses the metaphor of marriage to illustrate the deep love between Christ and the church. And as you look further in the Word, it even says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." That's how important we are to Him. See, Brittany is my bride, and I love her with all my being. And part of that love is to protect her. If you badmouth her, you might hear from me. If you hurt her, well, let's just say you might see me in action. How much more do you think Christ will protect His bride? You won't die just for anyone, but for someone you love. See, this act stresses the depth of Christ's love, which is willing to endure suffering and death for the sake of the church. Second, we're His body. According to the Bible, the church is the body of Christ. In Ephesians 1:22-23, Paul writes that Christ is the head of the church, with believers as the parts of his body. The church is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Just like our physical body is made up of different parts that work together for a common purpose, so too is the church, comprised of diverse individuals who are united in their faith in Christ. And since Christ is the head, he leads the body where to go, not any other part of the body. It's important that to him, that we all work together in unity, because if we don't, we will fail in everything we do. So as his bride and his body, we are important to him, which means we should make this family of God important to us. Let me remind you that going to church doesn't save anyone. There's a quote that says, "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage doesn't make you a car." Very simple, but yet true. Only Jesus Christ can save you. My second point, the purpose. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to exalt God, verse number one, to edify the saints and to evangelize the world. First and foremost, exalt God, number one. Colossians 1:18, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy." This is not Alan's church or your church, and we little sprinkle of Jesus here and there. No, Jesus Christ is the front and center, the number one top priority in this church and in every church, the number one top priority in each of our individual lives, the one we worship every Sunday because of what he has done at the cross of Calvary, not Mary or any of the saints. He is the reason why we're all here and the reason why we have hope. He is our Lord and Savior. We know that without Christ, this church, us, would not exist. Without him, we would have no purpose and no meaning. He is more important to us than any other person. His word is more valuable than any other message. And his will takes precedence over any of ours. In other words, we are totally invested in our relationship with God. Everything we have and everything we are is devoted to him, and the church holds nothing back. So that's the first purpose, to exalt God. Second is to edify the saints. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:12-13. It says, "To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Where do you go to grow and learn? You go to school. Well, this verse answers the question, where does a Christian go to grow up? You go to church. This is where we learn. This is where we get encouragement. This is where we get support, both in our physical and spiritual needs. Teaching and preaching improve our understanding of God. Encouragement promotes behavior that develops Christ-like character. And that is the ultimate goal for a Christian, isn't it? To be Christ-like? But we can't do it by ourselves. It's a team effort. If you continue to read in verse 16, same chapter, it says, "From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. The Christian life is not meant to live in isolation, but in fellowship with other believers. If we hope to grow spiritually and endure the long haul, we need our brothers and sisters in Christ. Third purpose, to evangelize the world. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Folks, the church is not a palace. It's an embassy. It's where the ambassadors, that's us, work and serve in relationship to the coming kingdom, letting people know that one day God is going to establish his kingdom on earth. And guess what? We're a part of it. Our citizenship is not of this mortal earth, but an eternal kingdom. We're God's ambassadors. We're now his representatives to this wicked world. Let me ask you, how's your job as ambassadors? You know, if the boss came to visit you today, would he be pleased with how you represent him? See, sometimes we forget that we as Christians hold the greatest and the most wonderful news this world has ever known. We need to share it with others. And let me tell you, there's nothing better, absolutely nothing, than winning a soul to Christ. Sure, winning a race or competition is great, but winning a soul to his eternal kingdom is nothing but indescribable and priceless. Friends, if you don't get excited or happy when someone does, then I urge you to check your spiritual pulse. You know, when I was a young Christian, when I read this verse, I thought this verse meant that you had to travel to another country and spread the gospel where they've never heard it before. I remember I attended this conference a long time ago, and a speaker really inspired me to go out, and I felt very motivated to hop on the next plane with them. And don't get me wrong, I support these men and women dedicating their lives to preaching the gospel in far-off places, and mostly in dangerous places. May God truly bless them and their ministries. But I also remember after that, I talked to another godly man, and his name was Bill McDonald. Very simple and down-to-earth man. I told him that I was thinking about traveling the world and spreading the gospel. He said, good for you, young man. And he said, Bill, Mr. McDonald, do you have any tips for me? And he scratched his head a little bit and he kind of whispered to me, where do you live? And I said, I live in San Ramon. How long have you lived there? Several years. Then he asked me this question. Does your neighbors know the gospel? Do they know that you're a Christian? And embarrassingly, I said no. He wasn't trying to be rude, and he left me with that question. I came home, and I asked myself, why would I travel hundreds and thousands of miles away to spread the gospel when I can't even go across the street and preach the gospel? Church family, we have work to do. Our job is not just to fill the chairs in this church, but to point people to Christ so we can help fill his heavenly kingdom. See, this country, this state, this town have homes filled with Bibles just stored in their shelves, collecting dust. We don't want Bible holders. We want Bible believers. Here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. I believe that one reason why the Church of God at this present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. May not be so. My third point, the benefits. What should we utilize? First benefit of the church is spiritual encouragement. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Underline the next verse, not giving up meeting together. This happened 2,000 years ago, and people were already leaving church for something else. They found something else important. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, if there's one thing this world needs, it's more encouragement. We have more than enough discouragers out there. So much negativity, doom, and gloom. I must admit, it's so easy to join their pity party, isn't it? That I can easily fall on that trap. But I must remember that as a Christian, that as a child of God, our perspective is different from theirs. Folks, without encouragement, life would be difficult, pointless, and burdensome. Trials become meaningless. Encouragement makes it easier to live in a broken world in a holy way. Spiritual encouragement gives us the will to carry on. It gives us a glimpse of the bigger picture. It can even prevent burnout. Encouragement helps us experience the abundant life the Lord intended us to live. And who better can provide that encouragement than the family of God over here, right? Another benefit, spiritual growth. Acts 2:41-42. Those who accepted this his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Here's another word I want you to underline. They devoted. That's one word we don't hear a lot anymore. What does it mean by devoted? Faithfully, with enthusiasm, dedicated. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, right here, and to prayer. See, spiritual maturity is an expected result when we are born again. It is important because we are not called to remain the same person we once were. And boy, I don't want to be that person again. Our maturity is a reflection of our relationship with God. God's plan is for us to move beyond the elementary teachings and to grow more into the image of Jesus Christ. Growing spiritually requires growing in prayer, fellowship with other believers, attending Bible studies. That's not what I said, that's what the Word says, and the personal knowledge of the Word of God. It is a process. It doesn't happen overnight and can only take place in a Spirit-filled, Bible-believing church, the family of God. Amen? If you have not surrendered your life to Christ and you're tired of being an outsider, you're tired of being alone, well, let me introduce you to the breaker of loneliness, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, if you were like me, I believe the only thing that's keeping you right now is your stubborn will. If you can get over that and say yes to Jesus and surrender your life to Him, you would have peace with God. You would have forgiveness of sins. And guess what? You have a guaranteed spot in His heavenly kingdom forever. I don't know about you, but I think that's a great deal. Best deal I've ever heard. And not only that, after meeting Jesus, wait till you meet His family. I'm going to end with this. A couple were coming home from their travels to their home in Indiana. And it was Easter. They're coming home for Easter. And two famous gospel writers. And on their way home, they heard that one of their church members was severely burned. So he was rushed to the hospital. They didn't think he was going to survive through the night. And so a church prayer was activated. Not like the one call we have now. Back in the day, each of them had to call everyone. And so they did this through the whole night, till the early morning, till they reached everyone. So the next day at church, they had the church service. They found that, they heard that the man survived through the night. The pastor even followed up with the doctor, and they said, yeah, looks like he's going to pull through. And so the church celebrated. Some of the church members even said, you know what, this is better news than a good night's sleep, better than a good Sunday breakfast. And so the couple, while they were driving home, they were meditating upon this, and they were just very thankful for the family of God. So knowing these two, they wrote a song about it. Here it is. Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote these words to the song. You will notice that we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family. Where one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. Amen to that. From rags into riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, we're thank you. We're thankful people because we have you as our Lord and Savior. Secondly, we're thankful for this family of God, this church. Lord, it's not a membership program to a club. It's an adoption to your family. Lord, as we end today, we just want to give you all the glory. Let us not forget the importance of the church, of this family. Make it important to our lives. Let us not forget our purpose. And Lord, let us utilize more of the benefits of the church. Thank you for being part of this family, Lord, and for creating this. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.